This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Has it been 2 weeks?
It has.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in that weird rolling from spring into summer event season where there's just always something coming up. But I didn't know what, I mean, I knew what to expect. We'd talked about it for weeks, brought in a lot of the speakers and the organizer and the person who was involved with coaching all the speakers. But I didn't know what it was going to be like that night until showtime, right?
Right.
We knew there were 600 plus people there, big audience. It got there, and I had to drop Lindsay off with some camera equipment. So we saw the lights of the theater and a long line of people down Main Street, and saw the trolley roll up and drop people off. And it felt like a big show, right? And then we got in, and it was just packed, and there's that energy of a live audience that, they're all talking, and then everybody's got to get quiet. And then the show has to start. And then you got to have a first speaker. That was the job of Laura Cornell Kennedy, who joins us in studios along with Natalie Beck, president of the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. That's what she said. What an overwhelming success just from me sitting in the audience. I don't know what other kind of feedback you've gotten.
Oh, we've received all positive feedback. Yeah. So we're very thankful for that. I said to all the gals in the cast, and Carl, I said, "Woo, we set the bar really high for next year." So it was phenomenal. We couldn't have hoped for a better show.
Yeah, but setting the bar high is what it's all about. And I think now that people can see what it is, maybe it's easier to sort of prepare for. I mean, you'd be the very first out of the gate, which is not ever the easy spot. I mean, you don't want to be first, and you don't want to be right behind somebody who knocks it out of the park.
Right. So for me, I mean, it was like being the warm-up band, and I'm used to being the band,
yeah,
kind of when I'm as a trainer and a public speaker. So it was very different, very different.
Because you're coming out cold.
Yeah, everybody said, "Oh, you'll never be nervous. You do this kind of for a living." Well, I don't do this for a living, not a scripted thing and stuff like that. But man, the 40 minutes before seemed like an eternity down in that green room. I'm not kidding. And everybody's having their fake eyelashes put on and doing all the girl stuff, which kind of is not me either. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in Never Never Land. Well, who's with me here on this one?
Yeah. You know what? I like the human side of you offering that up, because everybody puts on a face and acts like they're not nervous. It is going out in front of 600 people or in an audience that you really can't see from the stage because it just looks like darkness, when the lights are on. It's never been done before, and you're all out there uncomfortable. I got one suggestion I want to make about someone's length of legs and chair they were sitting in, because I worried that she wasn't going to have enough blood in her ankles to stand up and go speak because it was just sort of dangling all night.
Oh, yes.
But it had to be nerve-wracking. I mean, just coming out, because you got to set the tone.
Mm-hmm. Right. I tried to trade off with people, and nobody would do it,
So how did that process work? Were you told right away you were going to open? Did that, unfold during the preparation?
No, we didn't know until about, I'm going to say at the most 2 weeks, probably 10 days a week beforehand. And we got an email that had the agenda on it.
All right, so that you saw the order.
That's when we knew. And I'm like, oh, what does this really mean? They want to get the worst done with.
No.
They want, I couldn't figure out what it meant. First, you're in your headspace about that.
Sure.
What does it mean? They just want this over with and let the funny people go next. And, all this kind of stuff. And I just feel like, I couldn't figure out what it meant. And then I thought, well, do like you do in life, put on your big girl pants and just do it.
Right.
Your
story was so personal though. I don't know you in that way. I mean, we've known each other for a very long time, from a kind of business and then mutual friends and all that. But your story was very personal, about a thing that a lot of people go through, but not everyone talks about.
Right.
How hard was that to share that with 600 people?
Well, tough. I mean, just as you said, I think a lot of people, even people who knew my story, so I didn't do it for my husband until about 5 nights before we were on.
Okay.
And he goes, Laura, at the end of it, he goes, I live this with you. And I had no idea this is how it was going for you, processing and how you thought of it. And so although a lot of people, I think, thought I was going to talk about my business or, doing startups or where to work or any of the things that I've done in the community, this was the thing that was me.
Yeah.
And has changed me enormously.
Well, I know that anyone who has gone through this with family members with Alzheimer's, it had to be incredibly relatable, because I fortunately haven't had that experience, but you delivered it in a way that allowed me to understand a glimpse inside of that. Which is something. And I thought, wow, okay, this is going to be a night that, you know, yeah, there's going to be some laughs and there's going to be some fun, but it's also a night about taking strength in the worst moments of your life, which is really kind of all of our stories, right?
Exactly. I know when the Herald and Review came and we were talking, I said, you know, the thing I've enjoyed the most about this is, for the most part, yes, we have the firefighter and we have Amber, but for the most part, we are all ordinary people, normal women, just that you'd see any day walking down the sidewalk. And yet the thing that I think is amazing about all of them is they took what life handed them. And like I said, they just sucked it up. They put on their big girl pants and moved on, yeah. Because that's what we do. Every single one of us, and every one of us has that kind of a story.
But I thought the women in the audience, I mean, there were plenty of men there, which was great. But I don't know. I mean, I think we could open our eyes and see strength in different ways and evolve and get better as people. But I don't know that the resonating message that got through that night was something that I will really understand the way the women in the audience understood it, because I just didn't have to face things or deal with things because of society and the way it was, the same way other people did. Right. Does that make any sense?
It does, but I would also say to you, if we had a stage of men and I was sitting in there, I bet I would feel the same way. I would learn something, I would relate to it, but at the other end, I would say, totally get it, because it's not the way I experience society in life. So yeah. I think that could go both ways.
It probably could, but you know, women have been held back a little bit more than men. And I think that what owning the stories to me, outside looking in that night, the connective tissue was about women owning their strength, even in the worst of situations, and lifting that up and connecting across that room in so many ways. I mean, story after story after story, and all very different, right?
Right.
Which I thought was amazing. So I knew that 7-minute thing was a load of baloney. I'm telling you, I've done this for a long time.
You have no idea how much has been cut from everybody's.
Well, I know, because, you know, depending on your point of view, 7 minutes can be a long time or very little time, depending on your storytelling abilities. And that's okay, though. It was fine. I didn't once kind of like check my watch or feel like, these stories need the room to exist, you know, in their entirety. You can't edit this. I mean, it's working, right? Did you feel that way sitting on stage after you got done?
After I got done, oh, wow. You know, I was the first one to be able to really relax and enjoy, even though I'd heard everybody's stories how many times, you know, and their evolution of it. It was, and I never felt like it was really long, long, long either.
No, I didn't proportionate.
Yeah.
You know, which I know you were probably worried about just logistically, right?
Yes.
But it didn't feel drawn out, or it didn't feel like, sometimes you go to things, and we all do, and it's a good cause, and you're going, oh my God, when is this going to get over? Right. I didn't sense anyone in the audience felt that way.
You know, that goes to the amount of devotion from each of the speakers in Jeanette. They rehearsed, as Laura said, that there was an evolution, and every word they said was needed. And so that was really on point. I will say next year's event is on a Friday and we have 8 speakers instead of 10.
Okay.
So we start an hour later. So we are aware of that commitment time-wise. And so we're going to every other year between 8 and 10 speakers, then Friday and Saturday. And so that we have different approach on that. But we do want to be mindful and we do want it to be impactful. And so, yes, it is a lot. But I think they just went beautifully, and I wasn't aware of the time either. So that's the point, that you're just in the story in the moment.
Right. So describe the experience, because, you know, now is going to be hitting people up now. You know, this is going to be your job. You know, how about this next year? You know, did you find the experience rewarding?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I'm much older than Marie, for example. I mean, you know, I was on the end of the spectrum of the age. So in experiences, we all brought something to the table. We all got to share that over time. It was a lot of work. I mean, even for somebody, and I say like me, who had a profession doing training and speaking in front of groups and keynoting to thousands of people, it was a lot of work. It was exciting getting to know women. The truth is, one of the women came to me halfway through and said, you know, I thought you knew everybody. I feel so alone. And I said, I know Natalie.
Yeah.
I know of, you know, Cheryl. I know of Dana. I didn't know anybody,
right.
You know, and nobody knew me. And so watching that dance with people about how we form relationships for me as an observer was very interesting. And it challenged me. I mean, I'm not that person. So, I mean, it was good.
What was the reaction after?
So, first off, obviously, when I got to my chair, I was like, huh, okay, I did it. Don't know if I did good. Don't know.
Right.
Don't care. You know, I played. I did it. I don't care. But I'll give you a quick, hopefully it's a quick example. So the next morning, every day I made the decision that I would practice my script and its evolution when I went to the bathroom. So I'd sit on the toilet and I'd go, sometimes I'd read my script. Sometimes I'd practice it in my mind. You know, I do. But every time I went to the bathroom, and I'm an old lady, I go a lot. The next morning I wake up and I go to the bathroom and I start, you know,
it seems
to me as though I've always, and all of a sudden I thought, no, you're not Pavlov's dog. Resist this, you know, conditioning.
Right.
And I talked to Linda, and Linda said she laid down in bed that night and she was practicing her song at night in bed, and she started singing and she said the same thing. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. It's over.
It's become part of the routine.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is. I mean, you do become as immersed in it as the producer is. It's a lot of work, and you have to give up things that you maybe thought were important that obviously somebody said isn't that important
right.
to us.
Well, you shared what Randy said to you. What did other people say to you after?
Well, you know, I'll give you one example would be that when I left the theater, I was by myself going to meet my family and going over to the after party at the Decatur Club, and a woman stopped me and she said, do you have a minute? She said, I want to tell you, I'm going through caregiving, and you gave me three things that I'm going to start to do. And I was like, could you tell me the three things? Because
right.
I a lot of times like say something and then somebody will say it and I go, did I say that?
Right.
I didn't realize I said that. I processed it. And she told me her three things and I said, it sounds like you're on a good path.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way. I mean, for me, that was directions. It was very meaningful. Somebody else wrote to me on Facebook. She said, Laura, this was so you. You know, I worked with you at Milliken and I just didn't know if it would still be you. And I said, even with my false eyelashes, it was still me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing. You know, when you've done this for a very long time, you know, getting up in front of people, but this was completely different. You weren't there to bring out their story or to connect people. You were there to sort of bear it all and had to be the very first one to go out and do it, which I cannot tell you how tough that is. You're alone, even though you're surrounded by people on a stage and no one has read the room yet. No one knows what kind of mood the audience is in. No one's really been to one of these, or for most part, so they don't know what to expect. It's just mystery time, which I felt for you, you know, just walking up to that microphone, like, oh my God, this has got to feel like the loneliest spot in a room full of 600 people.
I mean, she was picked for a reason to anchor it and to kick us off. She was the first cast member to say yes to us, and we knew that we had that strength in her. So I wasn't surprised when Jeanette selected her to kick us off. So I appreciated her, and it did need to go perfectly because she calmed all the other ladies. When you talk to them, they're like, okay,
yeah,
we're ready.
I tell you, poor Jamie Moscato, get her a footstool. I was watching and I thought the chairs were all different heights, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of different.
Yeah, it's supposed to look like your living room.
It did. Just to describe the setting for people who need to go next year but didn't go this year. It felt like kind of a, you know, a familial sort of space where people had it. And you never know when you're sitting up there. You know, George Bush, the elder George Bush, once looked at his watch during a debate. And it was like a huge thing because it meant that he was bored or couldn't wait for it to get over. And so now you got all these eyeballs on you. And even though you're not speaking, on a stage and you don't want to wonder and you don't want to, you know. So, but I got like focused on this chair because her legs didn't touch the ground.
Right.
And I thought, ma'am, I hope when she gets up,
yeah,
it's all good. But it was amazing. I couldn't believe the variety. You know, there were threads, I think, that ran through the whole evening that you could pick up on. But were you even surprised you picked all these people?
No, I was very surprised. And I think I've shared that with you. Some of the reasons I selected particular women did not come out in their talks at all.
Yeah, what you thought would be the story wasn't the story.
Right. So I do think that's just the grace of the path that they get led down, and it's what's on their heart and their spirit at that time. And then also how Jeanette pulls those nuggets out. Jeanette's behind the scenes. She does a lot of one-on-ones with them. They are so prepared by the time they take the stage. And I think that that is the key to this whole experience being so empowering for the women on stage and the audience.
What's your feedback been from just audience?
Oh, overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
It couldn't have gone any better. We're so happy. We're so happy that the community embraced the speakers, that they felt the love while they were on stage and vice versa. And I mean, immediately we said, okay, we're bringing it back next year. So there was in the program and there is on our website an ability to nominate speakers. Because that's the key. I love that Laura said she didn't know everyone. That's intentional. We want to widen circles, and we want very different walks of life and where they're at in their journey to be on that stage.
And is Laura's the first one we've interviewed post-event.
Yes.
Were there similar reactions from the other participants? I mean, about how their experience was?
I think so. You would have spoken to them more immediately.
Yeah, we've spoken and we've texted a lot together.
Right. And, 141 texts
the
day after, and this text thread. I was like,
to each other.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm not in on that.
I know. Yeah. But it was. It felt very similar. And I will give Jeanette a lot of credit. My sister died a month before, and I have to tell you that I seriously thought, is this the right time for me to do this? And I called her and she said, you're all ready. Why do you need to talk to me? And I said, I need to understand. If I'm going to do this, how do I do this? How do I say she died? How do I go through that? And she helped me with that. And that was good because I was like, they can do it with 9. They don't need 10. You know?
No, but I mean, that's a natural feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going through. It's one thing to share your story, and it's one thing to be able to process your story before you share your story. I mean, those are two very different things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it. I thought it was great, and I knew once you sat down, okay, we're in for a good ride here. This is going to be a... 'cause I didn't have any expectations other than I know some of you.
Right, yeah.
But it turned out I there's a lot about some
people
of
you
I didn't know, right?
And that was, I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And I just thought to each person with their own personality, their own experience and their own, you know, it was just a great variety and what a nice evening. And I'm telling you, if you missed it, Nick, you can go next year because it is worth going and it's every bit. It's not one of those things just to go and raise money for a good cause.
No.
Although certainly that's, you know, was the case. A lot of money was handed out that night.
Right. So, yes, we had the She Gave Giving Circle awarded $25,000 in grants. And the cast has a party upcoming that Laura's hosting so graciously. And they will view it together for the first time the entire show.
Now, is that scarier than doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm like going to be like one of those stars that says I never watch it after it's oh my gosh, how critical can we be? Yes.
But once they put their stamp of approval on it,
yeah,
then it will release to the public.
Ah.
And so we will have an opportunity for everyone. It lives on the She Gave site that Jeanette has.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's what she said. Ooh, I keep getting those confused in my mind. And it'll live there, and so everyone can see it. And I think that will go to helping recruit next year too.
I agree.
They'll know some of the women on the stage, and they can watch it and be assured it's a wonderful experience.
All right. At the end of the program, what were you feeling?
I would say I was feeling tons of pride in our community. Like I said at the beginning, you know, why showed up and it wasn't mandatory, and
right,
you didn't know what you were getting. I said to somebody earlier in the week, yeah, you're going to pay $30 to hear me talk, and you could hear me talk for free all day if you wanted to, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, this is crazy. So enormous pride in our community, enormous pride in the women that were sitting next to me. I mean, you have no idea how so many of them developed. I mean, you saw a finished product and they made their own journeys. And, you know, it just reminds me too that I just thought, you know, there's a million stories in this great city.
Yeah.
And we don't even know a fraction of them.
Yeah. That's absolutely on. Well, congratulations. And good luck with the viewing party. That's not one person is going to be happy after watching that. And then I don't know why, because it was fantastic, but that's just what we do as people, right? Yes. Good stuff. Laura, thank you for coming in and sharing again, because I think it's important not only for the cause, because how much money was handed out on stage?
$25,000.
Okay. So and if you look at the organizations that received that funding, those donations are significant to
them.
Meaning, I mean, it's real impact.
It is real impact. And those were all voted on by the 141 women in the giving circle.
Yeah. And do we know what the men to women ratio was in the audience that night?
I don't know that.
I mean,
I felt like there were more men there than I thought would be.
But yeah, I thought so too, but it still was.
No, I don't know the ratio.
Majority.
I mean, I can probably guess looking at some photos, but yeah.
You know, it's funny because you can't see, and all I could see is the very front row that was sitting right there, and like there were like 8 men there, and I'm like, what the heck?
So the only sounding board you had was like the 8 guys. Yeah.
These 8 men just kind of like, you know, but it was okay. They were great. They were wonderful to be there and supportive, and I appreciated it. And you guys have been so supportive, Brian. Thank you so much.
It's our great pleasure. Natalie is a visionary at the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, and I think her efforts to bring everyone to the table and have these conversations and experiences, there's only the only thing you can do is learn. I mean, I don't know where the downside in that is, so we're happy to support, and we're thrilled to be a sponsor. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.